have shown in us and in the vote, and we just want to tell you, that we're very appreciative of you and how excited we are of everything with all this transition. And also thank you for all the help Friday, Helen Loden. Between my books and her Christmas decorations, I know that was about half the truck, but I used to say it was her decorations, and she pointed out that I had just as many boxes of books. But, after 30 years of ministry and you gain books, and anybody that's been in ministering, Brother Gordon, I'm sure he's got several books, and you just accumulate. One thing I've heard, I think I said last time I was here, but this is one thing you're hearing me say. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you need to be a continual learner. I don't care how old you are in the Lord, the Bible is still a living, breathing book. Means there's always something for us to learn. But we're excited to be here. We're excited for things to get moving. I know, we're still unboxing. It's going to probably take a week or two before we fully get settled in. But thank you so much for all the love and delicious things, goodies you all brought. Whoever made that banana pudding, I don't remember who did it, but oh my Lord. Even we had some of that last night, and I thought, man, I'll be honest with you. I like banana pudding, but my goodness, I'm a fan. I mean, I like banana pudding, but most of the time when I get it, it's like, is it okay? But whoever made that last night or made that, praise God. All the stuff was good, but I hadn't had the cake yet. I'm pacing myself, but I had a little bit of cookie, but man, that banana pudding. Even everybody was talking about banana pudding, so. That was, we just felt the Lord in that, I'm just saying. Now I came from Louisiana to hopefully go back down, because man, everything was fried down there. And I think maybe I can get back in shape, but it's going to be tough. Going to be tough, but anyway. But no, also I want to say thank you to Brother Jeff. I mean, he's just been a great, and all the council, but Brother Jeff has just been a great asset in this transition, and thank you. I mean, you got some great people, great leaders here, making sure things are taken care of. I mean, we have felt very at home. We felt loved. We felt very accepting, and we believe God has great things in store in the time and years ahead, and we're just ready to put down roots and settle in and work together to build the kingdom. That's what it's about. We want to build kingdom. We need to be kingdom minded and be, as he talked about in the lesson, allow the Holy Spirit to lead us all. You're going to hear me say, my kids, I got all my kids, I'll talk about them here in a minute, but you heard me, they've heard this all their life. This is part of my DNA. Ephesians 4, meaning each part doing its share causes growth. Every one of us has a ministry. Every one of us has something God has called us to do. And it takes all of us to grow a church. Not just a pastor, not just a pastor's wife, not just the youth. It takes all of us. Because there's ministry in everywhere we look. There's ministry in areas you probably never have thought about. But I'll share more of that later as we go along. But we're just going to hit the ground running, get things rolling. And I know we're living in the day of COVID, and we're living in the day of all this chaotic stuff going on. And we need to be in prayer this week. If ever there's a time for the church to pray, I believe it is now. It's today. It's leading up to Tuesday, because Tuesday is going to be one of the most turning points in our, not only in our nation, but in our world. And if you don't know it, or you've not seen it, or you don't understand it, this all is pointing to one thing. And no matter who's sitting in the White House, but this is pointing to one thing, and that's Jesus is coming soon. The question is, are we going to have a pro-church government or an anti-church government? That's what it comes down to. And so I encourage, if you've not voted yet, go out and vote. We need to pray for our president. He may not be the most gracious guy, but at least he's pro-church. Hello. And we need to be praying. and encouraging people to really think hard and pray for our nation. But, you know, regardless who wins, God is still on the throne. And but Jesus is coming soon. But I am so thankful to have all my kids here. And I didn't think it would happen this way, but it all just kind of fell together. They all decided to come in. And, of course, Stephanie, she helped us this week. She flew down to Louisiana and helped us pack up and clean up. And she's my cleaning girl, and she gets OCD in the cleaning part. And so she came down to help Sherry and I and everything. And then she drove the car up, and I'm glad to have her. But my son Ryan, stand up, Ryan. Let everybody see you. And that's my oldest, my firstborn. But he's a high school science teacher. And no, he's not a student. He's a teacher. he teaches there in Dalton, Georgia. Lives in Cleveland, and we're so thankful to have him come up. And then Stephanie, of course, stand up, Stephanie. Let everybody see you. Stand up, Stephanie. She's the shy one. That's not standing. And just be thankful I didn't have you say anything. She won't say nothing. But she Ryan and her share an apartment there in Cleveland. She graduated last year from Lee in digital media or studio production. I still don't get the degree right. I botch it. But anyway. But they're living there. They share an apartment there in Cleveland, and so they're not that far away. But then the two on the end there, Matt and Rachel. Rachel's my baby, and Matt, my son-in-law. He's one of my kids. I claim him. I love him, and I'm really happy at the happy with the man of God that she chose and God put in her life. And they pastor both of them. They pastor in Faraday, Louisiana. And their first church down there, they've been there over a year now. And both of them are credentialed ministers. She got her exhorters last year, both of them did. And so, but he graduated from Lee with pastoral ministry degree and is working on his master's now. And he'll be preaching tonight. When they came up, I found they're coming up. They're staying over Sunday night. I said, you know what? I'm going to be tired. Why don't you preach so, and I can show him off. And he's a great preacher, great man of God, very studious, very sharp. I wish I had some of his, I mean, the retention that he has in the biblical knowledge. But he's great. I'm really looking forward to hearing him minister, and I know you'll be blessed tonight by them. And I'll let them talk later tonight. And so it's Rachel's, but I'm so thankful to have my family. Here's my family. So you all get to meet them. So and they'll be in and out and up and down and stuff. And then hopefully by the spring you'll get to meet my parents. They'll be flying in. We've already talked about that. We was going to have them come in December, but Mom is going to be having some surgery on her wrist in December and won't be able to travel or wouldn't be smart to travel. So, but anyway, that's enough of that. Let's get into the Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm going to be kind of reading through this, but we're familiar with Nehemiah. Most people are with the story of Nehemiah. I love how Nehemiah, I just love the character, the story. It's one of my favorite books, because, and you'll see as we go through this morning, how Nehemiah really shows not only great leadership skills, but just how Nehemiah relies upon the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 4, I'm just going to begin at verse 6. Get my brain together here. Just read a couple of verses, and then we'll pray. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God because of them, and we set watch against them." day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." I'm going to stop right there. And my title this morning is Dealing with the Rubbish. Dealing with the Rubbish. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time, this opportunity to come together. And Lord, I just thank you for the fellowship and the kinship, Lord, that is in this place. And I thank you, O God, for the Spirit of the living God that is here today. And I ask you, Lord God, that you would just begin to pour into us, not just words that are prepared on a page or words that are spoken, but Lord, pour into us your understanding, your power, your spirit, your love. And Lord God, I pray that your will would be done today in this service. And that, Lord, you would direct us and help us to deal with some of the rubbish in our own lives. And Lord God, that we could accomplish what you have set us to do. And I pray for the anointing and the unction of the Spirit to lead, guide, and direct. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's a cute little story I want to share with you as we start this morning. It says, a mother of eight was coming home from a neighbor's house one afternoon. As she walked into the house, she saw all the five kids huddled together, intently looking at something and focusing. She was amazed how their concentration was so focused and how something that she was wondering what could have grabbed their interest so much. Where these kids were all, I mean, we understand the kids' attention span, right? It's about that long, but she was so wondering why they were so intently, what were they focused on? And she began to slip near them and trying to discover the source of their attention, and she couldn't believe her eyes. Because smack dab in the middle of that circle were baby skunks. She looked at them and screamed at the top of her lungs, "Kids, run!" And the kids obeyed, and they picked up a skunk, and they ran. Now, I don't know about you, but isn't it amazing that sometimes the more you try to help a situation, the worse it seems to get? And it's very discouraging when you try to fix something, and it don't get fixed. And this is where we kind of find this ourselves, not only in our world and in our situation in our nation, but this is where we've seen kind of what was going on. Because the Bible says that the wall had been built and it was up to half its height. Progress was being made. They were building the wall in record time. Nehemiah had rallied the people, and as you read earlier on in this story, you will see how Nehemiah got their attention and got the favor of the people and got the favor of the leaders above him to restore the wall of Jerusalem. But as with most things and with a lot of things in our own lives, discouragement sets in when there's clutter. I know in the last couple of weeks as we're packing and our house went from a nice cozy home to you know, kind of a rough and cumbersome place because boxes were beginning to stack up and you know, you couldn't move without running into a box and the paths that you would normally take to get to one place to another, you know, there were boxes. And even after we unpacked, you know, the last couple of days, you know, it's been discouraging. Because you unpack boxes and they're still boxes. And if anybody has moved before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Moving is not a pleasant thing. Because, as you know, whether you're packing or unpacking, you still have more to pack or more to unpack. And it seems like with anything, when we get into that midpoint or that halfway situation, it can become discouraging. And this morning I want to kind of deal with this because there's a lot of people, not just with moving, but in life. Because there's some things that we have packed up in our life, or things that we are still trying to unpack in our life, and that midpoint becomes discouraging. Because clutter builds up. There's four things I want to kind of address here about four causes of discouragement as we walk through this. Because in verse 10, we see where the word came that the strength of the laborers is failing. We had just read earlier how they were building the wall up into record time, and they were doing all these kind of things, and things were happening, and, you know, man, excitement, and when work, you know, and Brother Jeff talked about, you know, when you had your work day, and you had work, but you were having fun along the way. And I believe that's what, you know, work shouldn't be something that we dread, but something that we can enjoy, knowing that we've accomplished something. Anybody remember the old Disney song, you know, or song, Whistle While You Work? You know, anybody remember that? Y'all be whistling that after, yeah, no, not that right now, but later, you know. Whistle it on your way home, annoy your spouse or annoy somebody later, but when there, the first, you know, that loss of strength, the strength of the laborers is failing. What he was saying was it was staggering. They were stumbling. They were having a hard time trying to make it through. Let's face it, halfway is discouraging. Halfway becomes, you know, tiresome. Halfway, because you say, oh my gosh, I got so much more to do. And it becomes hard. Listen, even in life, when we're trying to better ourselves, we're trying to make something of ourselves, we're trying to advance something, or, you know, when we get halfway, we think, man, I've come so far, but I still got so far to go. But we got to remind ourselves, yes, halfway can be discouraging, but I'm further today than I was yesterday. We got to remind ourselves of that old song, He's Still Working on Me. We've got to remind ourselves that salvation is not a sprint, it's a marathon. That we got to be in this for the long haul, because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And if God has brought me to this place, He's going to see me finish it. Paul reminds us, it's not about who finishes first in life, just crossing the finish line. Part in the scripture says you ran well, but what hindered you? I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of people we know that were in the faith that believed in God, but now they're not. And we wonder why. What hindered them? What discouraged them? Church, we got to remind ourselves about caring for one another and lifting up the hands which hang down and strengthen the feeble knees, because we're in this thing together. And it's not about me finishing before you. It's about all of us finishing together. Because let's be honest. Anyone that's honest with themselves or honest, there's going to be times you're going to have to help somebody, but there's also going to be times somebody's going to have to help you. There's times my wife and I'm her cheerleader when she's discouraged, and she's my cheerleader when I'm discouraged. And when we're both discouraged, we just got to look at each other and say, you know what? We just got to pull up our big boy britches and go on. Hello? We need to quit having pity parties and start having a little bit more praise parties. Come on, somebody. We can cry our way through the storm, or we can praise our way through the storm. We could just cry, we could just sit in the middle of the storm and say, well, woe is me. Or we could say, you know what? I'm going to go through this thing. Yes, I understand. A loss of strength will take an emotional toll. Trust me. It takes an emotional toll. And this brings us to the next thing, because as we see, they had the strength of the laborers is failing. You go on, it says, and there is so much rubbish. Everybody know what rubbish? If you don't know what rubbish is, it's trash. Now think about this. When the threat of their enemies, the wall was halfway up, and you read earlier, you will see how it talks about the walls were being built and they were closing the gaps. Now watch, follow me with this, okay? Because as they were building the wall and closing the gaps, it was minimizing the opportunity for the enemy to come in. Hear me. When the church or the believer begins to close the gaps, it minimizes the opportunity for the enemy to come in. And when the enemy realizes he cannot come in, or his chances are become diminished, he is going to threaten even more, because his bark is larger than his bite. Think about this. As I was preparing for this, I got to thinking about 2020. I just seen her yesterday pop up on one of my app, my Weather Channel app, and there's another storm in the Gulf. And I thought, not my problem. The Louisiana people. I'm Kentucky now. Go Big Blue! But let's think about 2020 for a minute. I mean, when you stop and think of all the things, and if you follow on Facebook or any social media, you have all these little memes that pop up. You know, what's coming next? You know, everybody's waiting for the zombie apocalypse to start taking place. You know, because, you know, we've had COVID. We heard about these murder hornets, you know, earlier on. Anybody remember those? You know, and then all these things, COVID was going down, now it's going up again, and we're getting tired of all these things. But think about this. When COVID hit, it shut, we had to shut everything down. And the church wondered, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And for many, I know there's churches, they just shut down completely. Churches have closed for good because of COVID. But others begin to reinvent themselves to do more outreach. And actually, the church in the early stages of COVID was reaching more people than they ever dreamed possible. I was getting a kick out of watching some of these pastors and all over on Facebook, and they were talking about how, oh my gosh, we had so many people watching and so many people this and that. You know, they were so excited about all the outreach and all the people that they had been reaching. And I'm thinking, well, thank God for COVID. You ever thought you'd say that? But you see, what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. Is not just inside the church, it's outside the walls of the church. And that's, but Satan is trying to get the church, just like in Nehemiah's day, to focus on the trash. And they focused on the trash to where they lost their vision of building the wall and finishing the thing God called them to do. Well, what's the trash? Think about the trash that's in our life. Think about things that we allow to build up in us. Hello? Well, this person didn't shake my hand. Pastor forgot my name. Get used to it. It'll take me a few times. I don't have a photographic memory. And just because I say, hey, buddy, don't think, oh, he forgot my name. No, I just say, I like buddy. I like buddy. I call my kids buddy. But we get so, why is it that people of God get so easily offended? Think about it. When we're supposed to be serving the same Lord and praying to the same God. But yet we wear our feelings on our elbows. Now you want me, y'all voted me here, I'm here, so you're stuck with me. I don't see the world fighting like that. Hello? Listen, let's just get this one thing straight. We're all family. We're part of the family of God. My wife just had her family reunion last week. Listen, there's some family of her family I really love. And there's some, I'll just leave it there. And there's some family, my family she really loves, and there's some she, we all got that, right? We all got family we really love. We always got those aunts and uncles that we really love, and we got those. You follow me, right? We all got that. But we still love them because they're family. Amen. People of God, we're family. Amen. There's some people we really going to love, and there's some we're not going to, but we're going to still love them. Amen. I mean, come on. I know me and my sister, we fight like cats and dogs. But when somebody came against one of us, we were there to support one another. My kids, they would fight like cats and dogs. But you come against one, you've got the other two coming at you. Because we're family. The church has got to understand that we cannot lose sight of the vision. We cannot lose sight of the things God has called us to. There's a world around us. We got friends and family in our home and around us that are dying and going to hell. And what are we doing to stop that? What are we doing about those sinners? What are we doing about those that are in need? What are we doing to let the people around us and let our community know that Jesus Christ is the answer and the only way to salvation is through Him? What are we left to know that the church of the living God is alive and well? But if we lose our vision, we lose our vision. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what that really breaks down to? Where there is no vision, they cast off all restraint and run around like a madman, a crazy person. You see, you got a lot of church folk out here that are running around, not here, they're out there. But you have a lot of church folk running around with no vision. And they're running around like crazy folk. You see, somebody with vision is focused at the task ahead and focused upon what the Word of God says and focused upon the Great Commission. Come on, someone that realizes that we've been called to preach and teach the gospel to everyone. We've been called to go out into among them and compel them to come in to the house of God and realize that there is a family, there is a safe place, there is a place of healing, there is a place of deliverance, there is a place to be set free, and there is a place to feel the liberty of God in their life. Next, you see, when you have no strength, you lose your vision, then the next step is, number three, you lose your confidence. In the scripture, in the text here, verse 10, they said, we are not able to build the wall. We're not able to build it, Nehemiah. We can't do it. You see, when you lose your strength, you lose your vision, you lose your confidence. And when you lose your confidence, discouragement is right around the corner. Why do people give up? Because they've lost strength, they've gotten weak, they've lost their vision, and all that leads to the loss of confidence, and they just give up. I go back to that Paul, that scripture. Paul says, "You ran well. What or who hindered you?" There's a lot of people that has been running well, but something hindered them. It's amazing to me, though, just here we are in verse 10, and just a few verses earlier in verse 6, we see where they had a mind to work. They're up one day and down the next. We got to ask ourselves. Yeah, I know there's times we're going to feel better, and other days we don't feel so good. I get that. We all have those days, right? There's days you're feeling good, and there's days, you know, things set in, you know, you just don't feel good, you just don't have the pep in your step anymore or what, you know. And that's understandable. But our spiritual man, I know physically there's times, man, I feel good. My mind, you know, I feel like I'm still in my 30s, you know. But my body reminds me I'm not. But in our spirit, we don't need to be that way. Amen. Up one day, down the next. On fire for Jesus today, and about ready to give up on God the next. You know what I call that? Spiritual immaturity. Pull your toes in. Church, if you've been serving God, you've been saved, however you want to call it, for 10 plus years, you don't need to be spiritually immature. I've seen people, I've pastored people that have been serving God, they were older than I am. Or they were my age too. And don't call names because I don't want to get back to them. I know it's in a different state, but I've seen people, it don't matter where I've been, where we've served, I still see people like that. That they've been serving God or say they've been serving God for so many years, yet they still are so spiritually immature. If God is really your God, and if you really have a relationship with Him, nothing will take Him away from you. Nothing will take you away from Him. I love my wife. Nothing is going to take me away from her. Nothing's going to drive between. Why? Because the relationship between her and I have grown so close together. Listen, we're so, and like most good couples, you're so intertwined. I mean, you know, it's not mine and yours, it's ours. I mean, I know she has her stuff I didn't touch. I know that. And I got my stuff she don't touch. But I'm going to let my stuff come in between you. Just like I'm going to let anything come between me and God. But we will lose our confidence if we lose our vision. And we get discouraged. Go back to why. What's the cause? Allowing the trash to build up. Let me get to the fourth thing. When you lose your strength, when you lose your vision, you lose your confidence. The next thing is you lose your security. If you've ever been broken into, your car, your home, whatever, there's that sense of violation that comes upon you where you feel like your security has been lost. And you feel uneasy. You went to bed the night before, slept like a baby, slept so good. But then the very next night after it happened, you don't sleep so good. Because your security, your sense of security is gone. It's been violated. And when things begin to threaten us, and things begin to come against us, and we begin to lose our strength and lose our vision, lose our confidence, our security is the next thing that goes. Like there's nothing worth anything. And there's nothing I can rely on anymore. And in verse 11, he talked about, and our adversaries, they will neither know nor see until we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. They were beginning to lose their security. Thought, oh my goodness, what's going to happen next? Listen, and listen to me. This is what's getting ready to happen. Because no matter what happens on Tuesday, there's going to be greater division on Wednesday. I don't care who wins. I'm just telling you all, we don't need to get so wrapped up into the politics. Listen, we need to vote. There is our not only our constitutional right, but our Christian duty to stand up for what is right. But understand, just because who we want gets in does not mean things are going to get fixed. And it's not the government's problem. Hear me. This ain't a governmental issue. Even when all this started, and we all looked to the government, we blame China, we blame this one, we blame that one, you know, China did this, and Trump didn't do enough, this didn't do enough, that person did, this is causing fear. Listen, let me tell you where the source of all that is, okay? Satan. He knows his time is short. He's trying to shut up the mouth of the church. He's trying to get the church focused on the trash of all this stuff going on. To where we lose, I hope you're seeing this, where we lose our confidence, we lose our vision, we lose our strength, we lose our security. And if we throw up our hands and say, what can we do next? Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to do what I've always done. And that is go to the Lord and say, Lord, it is you. It is by your power. It's by your strength. It's by your might. It's by you. In him we live and move and have our being. He is in control of all things. It's not me. It's not the White House. It's him. He's wanting us to realize the time is short. The days are evil as it was in the day. Remember, as it wasn't, so shall it be in this coming of the Son of Man. We've got to get ready. When we've got to tell the world, Jesus is coming soon. Oh, I've lost track of time. Yeah, I've got to hurry. Let me wrap this up. God, is God your God? Do you really trust in him? Do we really believe in him? Psalms 139, it says this. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged behind me and before, and have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. He goes on and says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take my wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall fall upon me and my night shall be my light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. I can go on, but you get the point. God is still in control. God is still on the throne. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what is threatening us. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter what's going to happen next. Because, listen, church, all this does is remind me. It reminds me that God is in control and I have to trust Him. Let me wrap this up. I like what Paul said in Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 1. He said, for then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, he says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I want to leave you with that. Set your mind on things above. Now, I know what some people say. Oh, you be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Yeah, I kind of get the point where some of those people are saying, but can I just add that we need more people to have their minds on heavenly things. You know, last time I was here, I shared with you about we need to talk about God more. We need to inject Him back into our conversations. We need to remind people and encourage people Jesus is the answer. And get biblical principles back into our vocabulary. You know why most people are there's a lot of people that are spiritually poor? Because they don't study the Word. They don't read it. They don't realize that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Word. What about the Word? He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's His Word. It's His truth. And His Word, His truth, Him will set us free. It means I don't have to walk in bondage. I don't have to walk in fear. I don't have to worry about what tomorrow holds because He's got this. I don't have to worry about the outcome of the election. No, I pray it works out great. I pray we have a good program. Christian president, hello. But I'm not going to put my head in the sand if it don't go the way I want to. You know what that means? That means we got to pray harder and preach harder. Because it tells me he's coming back soon. Real soon. Either way, he's coming back. Plane to get ready to leave, and we better get ready.
Yes,
get our minds back on the things that are important. Get our eyes off the trash. And I'm going to say something y'all used to hear as a kid. You put your name, inject your name. And we used to say this a lot of times. I got Ryan here, and I don't do this much because he's not with me a lot of times. I always picked on him when he was in church. You know, Ryan was always the examples of my preaching. Ryan, I didn't want you to feel left out today, so. We used to tell him as a kid, Ryan, take out the trash. Then when Ryan left, it was, Stanley, take out the trash. We gave up on Rachel. Now it's Chuck, check out the trash. I want to tell you today, it's time to take out the trash. It's time to get, you've been looking at trash far too long. You've been looking at things and it's been piling up, it's been building up, and you've lost your strength. You've been wondering oh my gosh, this chaotic time. And, Brother Gordon, he's a great guy. I got to talk to him, and I've heard a lot about him, and a lot of things. You're going to say, well, is he as good as Brother Gordon? Is he going to be like Brother Gordon? Listen, let me tell you something. And I think I'm safe to say this, but I'm not going to be like him. He's not going to be like me. I'm not going to try to replace him because I probably can't preach as good as he. But the fact of the matter is, in this time of transition, in this time, there's always that chaotic time. There's always that time of uncertainty. There's always that time when we begin to look at the trash more than we look at the vision. And I just come today to tell you on this first Sunday together that it's time, let's just take out the trash and let's get our eyes back on the vision, because there's a community that needs to hear about Jesus. Yeah. And there's a community that needs to know that we care about him. So are you ready to take out the trash? Well, a couple of you are. Musicians, come on up here. It's time to take out some trash. It's time to deal with some things. Well, Pastor, I ain't got nothing to deal with. Really? How many have been living in fear over this election? God's in control. I know it's easy to get ourselves consumed watching TV, watching these guys on TV trying to tell you how it's going to go. I'll watch them sometimes and find I get enough. Thinking, they don't know. Polls. We've seen 4 years ago, pollsters don't know what they're talking about. I don't listen to polls. I've never been called. Or maybe I have, I just haven't answered it. I don't know. I don't answer. If I don't know the number, I don't answer it. Now, if I see a Kentucky number, yeah, I'll answer it. A local number, yeah. But I've gotten calls from California, Missouri, New Mexico. New Mexico, I haven't been there for 2 years. They're still wanting me to go out there and vote. Maybe I should. But we can get so caught up in events and so caught up in things, we forget and lose sight. We got to deal with some trash. Stand with me. Father, I just thank you right now for this time as we prepare for this time of prayer, this time of the altar. Everything, Lord God, of this service prepares us for this time. We've worshiped you. We've heard your word. Now it's up to us to respond. I pray, Lord, right now that you would help us, that we would look to you. I pray, God, that we would take the trash out today in our life. Lord, I'm sure there's things in all of our life. We got something tucked back in a corner that we thought, oh, I'll deal with that later. But you're telling us today, clean out those things. When we take out the trash, we start anew and afresh. And Lord, I know today you're wanting to give us a fresh perspective, a fresh start to the things that you have ahead of us. The best days of the church are not behind, they are ahead. The finest hour for the church is ahead. Because of these last days and the days in which we live in, it is a day of great opportunity and a day that we will see many souls added to the kingdom of heaven. Because people will be looking to you and they'll be looking for answers, and we will be there to show them the way. Lord, I pray those here today, Lord, that you're speaking to, that we will be mindful and we will be sensitive to the Spirit for what you have. Help us, Lord God, to take this trash, to deal with it. Before we leave today, let's deal with it. And I pray your help in Jesus' name. As everyone still pray and still reverencing the Spirit of God, if you're here today, and I don't play when it comes to altar time, I'm not going to plead, beg. I'm going to obey God. But I want you, you either are going to answer and follow him, obey him, or not. But if you're here today and say, Pastor, I need some help taking some trash out. I need some help cleaning out some dark corners in my life and getting some things released in my life. I want you to come and stand here this morning. I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you. I want to help you. I've come to come alongside of you and lift up your hands and help you and pray over you. And I know God will help deal with those things. Maybe you need some healing with some hurts. I want you to come. God is here to help you to get that trash and that clutter cleaned up. Today's the day to deal with it. Maybe you're living in fear and you need peace to deal with the things and anxieties that you're facing for the things ahead. Let's put that to rest today. Come. I'm not going to take a lot of time. Come right now. Hallelujah. I want to ask some saints of God to come and stand with these.